got that. No problem.
All right.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. Again, we're here at Wadapalooza, and remember, we are sponsored by Reebok, the official sponsor of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We are lucky enough to be joined for the third year in a row by Stacey Tovar.
Hello, everyone.
If you guys don't remember her, she's been at the game seven times. She's the owner of CrossFit Omaha, and she's a proud representative of Reebok and Progenics.
Absolutely.
So we definitely crossed paths on more than one occasion.
Yes, many.
So, since last year, you just took over CrossFit Omaha.
It's been a year.
And how are things going?
Busy. We are busy. Busy's good. I don't really know where this last year went. It's still unbelievable to me that we rebranded and did all the things that we did in the last year. And, things are really good. Things are really good.
So as far as, the last year, that's what's so nice to be able to catch up with you regularly so we get these little updates, right? So you talk about rebranding. What does that mean for your gym?
Well, our old gym was very old. We were the first gym in Omaha to open, and so you can imagine the number of scrapes and scratches on the wall and the paint. And so it was blue. It's now black and red and white, and the logo is completely different, and the way that we... You know, we create the dialogue for ourselves, so people know what we stand for. People know what they're getting when they're coming into our door, and that wasn't necessarily quite the case previously with the previous owner. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Going through that, like rebranding your colors and your logo and kind of reforming the message, like what was the favorite part about that for you?
Before I quit... my corporate job and did CrossFit full-time. I worked for a corporate wellness company, and I did branding and marketing along with some sales. So it's kind of like my baby a little bit, and it was super fun. Like, I did projects like that for other companies and for Simply Well, the company I worked for, but having it like my very own was really surreal. And actually, Dro with Progenics helped us create the logo. So, you know, when you just got like people that you know and trust and believe in, and they believe in what you're doing, like the process is just that much easier. So we really didn't have to go. We talked and went to lunch with some marketing people and some branding specialists in Omaha, but nothing like really hit home than it did with Dro. So it was really easy process, and it was so much fun. Like, you just look at something and you're like, yep, that's totally us, like right away. And it's like Dustin and I were blessed in that regard, because it's been so great. Like, our community loves it. We love it every day. It's been really good.
That's great. And it's nice to, like you said, lean on people that you know and trust and have done it before. And the fact that you have the background in that means you have real opinions, right?
Yeah.
That have, like, been tested out. And you're like, okay, I know what looks good.
Yeah.
I know how I want things to balance. So now you've been in this now, full-time owner for a year. What are some of the, after overcoming those initial hurdles, what are some of the challenges that you're facing now that you're kind of like a year in?
Dude, everyone's like, oh, I just want to be exactly like you. I want to... Hi, Benedict!
You guys got to remember, we are live. We're hanging out at Wadapalooza, and so people want pictures. You know, you got to turn and give them to them. So go ahead and finish up, Stacey.
So everyone's like, oh, I want to be a games athlete. All you do is eat, sleep, train, and that's it. Coach a little bit. Dude, it is so not like that. As a business owner, people walk through the door. I might be training, and I go with the whole, like, AMRAP mentality that Kalipa preaches, and I try and live by that. But if somebody walks through my door and I'm in the middle of training, I stop what I do. And I go and talk to them and help them, and I'm still coaching if somebody's in the gym while I'm trying to train. Like, it's just inevitable, right? So it's not what y'all think, okay? It is 10 times as much work to run a bit. All those little kids, they're all my kids. I'm like, they are, it's all I think about. And then I have to worry about myself and my health and my training and my goals. And it's not just, I want to make it back to the games, or I want to run a triathlon, or I want to do this or that, or I want to be a gymnast and do weights. I want to be a business owner. I want to be successful in that regard too. So it's way harder than I thought anyone thinks.
So what's the priority going into this year, this season? Is it obviously the business is never going to be something that you're going to like ignore or anything like that, just like your fitness would never be something you're going to ignore, right? But what is the focus moving forward for like the next few months?
I think number one to stay healthy. I'm 32. I've been at this for 8 years.
Hella old. Old.
Oh.
When did Stacey Tovar get old?
Crumbling. Stay healthy. And I think I would like to see Madison. I think there's not many athletes that can say, wow, they've been to Aromas, they've been to the Home Depot / StubHub, and now they're going to Madison. So I think that's the end goal. And then as a gym owner, I would love to grow by at least 50 members this year. So we did that last year. I would love to see that happen again. So, bigger and better.
So we've had people on this podcast who are in the position that you're in as very competitive athletes, also very successful business owners, and differing opinions on this. Like, can you do both at the same time? So one of our friends and, like, guys that we interviewed, we really enjoyed the interview, was Tommy Hackenbrook. And his opinion was that if you're an athlete, you need to be an athlete because you don't have that window very long. And if you're a business owner and that's your top priority, then you have to accept the reality that your training will suffer, you know, and have, like, in your mind, know that you can't do both to the best of your ability. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with Tommy. Unfortunately, you can't. I have my husband that picks up the slack now that it's crunch time. During the off season, it's a little bit easier. In off season, there's really no off season, but like the fall. And then, you know, season starts January 1st. So, I think I agree with Tommy. And in order for my business to grow, I am going to have to give something up. So I don't know how much longer I'll be an athlete, but I'll do my best until it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's important to kind of break down, right? Like, if your gym, say, at 100 members and you want to go to 150, you may be able to sustain your athleticism, but there's going to be a tipping point, right, where those lines kind of cross. And in order for it to grow more, right, and maybe for some people that number is 200 or 300, right, but eventually to sustain a community that's thriving the way it should or maybe like you want it to, eventually things have to start shifting around and those priorities have to kind of move.
Absolutely agree. And honestly, I think some people are a little bit selfish too. Like, I care about my health. I care about my goals, but I honestly just want to change lives. I care about all the 200 members that I have, and I want to make those guys healthier. And if I can't mentally be in the game every single day, if I can't show that I care about their health and their wellness, and it's all about me, then they're not going to want to stay at CrossFit Omaha, and that's not what I want. So, you got to have some give and take, and I think you got to have one or the other. So.
Earlier you described your gym members as your kids, you know, and like that's the way a lot of us feel, is like that they're part of our family at the very least. Do you have aspirations to be a mother, like, and start like a real family? Because that would be coming up pretty soon, I would think.
Yes, very soon. 32 now, so any day we need to get rolling on that. And yes, I do want to be a mother. So that's the other thing I've got going. So
right, that's in the back of your mind always.
Always,
right?
Yeah. It's been there, but yeah.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I listen to the way you're talking, and I already think like you have a lot of the great qualities that would make a mom, right? You're attentive, and you're caring, and like you see big picture, and you're away, but you think about your kids that you have right now. That's exactly how my wife, who already is a mom, right, thinks about. She's like constantly like thinking about the kids or other things going on, and so rarely really considering herself. You know what I mean? And you're like, I care about my fitness, I guess, but really it's about them, and I want to make a difference in people's. That's like my wife. So I already tell you're going to be a good mom, so you'll be fine.
Thanks.
So was that going to happen maybe before this season, if it happens?
If it happens.
Okay, if it happens. We're not precluding it. We're
going to check in for an update.
Wow. So next year at Wadapalooza, hopefully you're making the trip, so that way we can actually get another update show, right?
That would be great. If we do this interview next year and you got like a baby bump?
That would be great. I would love that.
Yeah, see? See how excited she is?
I know.
That's real.
That's true.
That's real.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit, talk about kind of like maybe like a state of affairs in the CrossFit community. Like it's always fun to reassess where the sport is going, where the businesses are going. You know, like recently we've seen just within our circle of friends, it's kind of like a shifting focus almost from some of the major sponsors. Whereas, like Reebok, for example, who sponsors this podcast, was in the beginning trying to collect as many athletes as possible. It seems now they're trying to like winnow that down a little bit. And I wonder if that's like a trend that we might see going forward where, okay, the space is established, the companies that are going to make a huge impact are established, and now maybe they try to exert more direct impact through fewer people, fewer ambassadors, fewer events. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It sure is interesting, though. You know, back in the day, I mean, you two can attest, your OGs along with myself, there were no, like, your sponsors just, they were in it because they enjoyed it and they loved it. And, you know, it's just gotten to the point where I think there's, you've got Nike knocking on the back door. You've got Reebok knocking on the door. There's a lot changing. And I don't know what's going to happen. The sponsors that were in the games previously, they really don't. Other than Progenics, who was there from the very beginning, they come
sponsors,
and go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I wonder why. Like, you know, where's the loyalty in that regard? But, and I don't understand, you know, their business models may change and stuff like that, but has changed.
It could be quite simply that maybe it doesn't pay off, you know? Maybe like they look at the numbers, be like, okay, here's our goal for sponsoring the games, and we want to generate this type of traffic to our website or whatever it is. I don't know how they measure it, but maybe it just doesn't measure up. So it's like, all right, next year, maybe not.
I completely understand that, and I would agree with you. It's got to make sense in the end, and if it's not making sense, it's time to get out, right?
Yeah, I think that maybe it's like that same thing with like gyms, right? You think about gyms, and they're not paying off because either the person behind has a bad business model, and I think maybe early on there was not just room for gyms that had bad business models to get into the space, but there's also room for companies that just really had maybe not the right business model or the right reasoning to kind of get in and support the space. So maybe this kind of like what seems like a tipping point is just maybe like a plateauing for a little while the right people move into the space, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to experience this another spike in growth because, you know, fitness, I mean, we know fitness is so important, right? Like, and CrossFit, you know, or at least something that looks very close to it, does it the best, right? Like, that's just a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still see growth in events like this. Like, this event has 1,500 people this year. Like, 2 years ago, it had, I think, just over 1,000. We're like, wow, could you really get it any bigger? And now they're 50% bigger. So you see growth there. You see growth in participation at the Opens. You see growth in affiliates. I mean, there's still definitely movement in that direction. But I think the way the investors look at it is probably changing, right?
I agree. And I know that it's very expensive. And I know that you have to allow it some time to see the trend, right? So it makes sense that, you know, if you've been in the game for a while and you're not seeing the growth that you want to see, like, it's not very smart to continue to invest a lot of money and not see any outcome from that. And work. You know, too.
Absolutely.
It takes a
time
lot of work.
A ton
exactly.
of time. We
exactly.
also talked last year about your, the different, not just the growth of the company and the business, but the growth of the athletes and like the younger athletes coming in. How was this year at the games with some of the younger girls? There's a huge eye roll, by the way.
I've seen that eye roll on a few of the other veteran female athletes.
I almost died, and I trained the most I had ever trained in my whole entire life. And I thought I was prepared. Like, I really thought I was prepared. And when Dave Castro, like, I will always believe what Dave Castro has to say after what happened last year. We all were taking pictures before we were about to go to get drug testing and our medals for the medal ceremony at regionals. And he huddled us in a circle, all of his podium winners. And he's like, you think I'm joking when I say you better prepare yourself for the CrossFit Games this year, you are going to die. And like, we all thought it was really kind of like, whatever, Dave, you know, like, you're such a dumbass sometimes, like, quit joking around. Until I called Emily and I was like, dude, Dave like huddled us. She was like, no, he did the same thing for us. And I was like, oh shit, like,
he's really telling
everyone to be serious. So we trained our asses off for everything. Hot weather, cold weather, rain, I mean, heat. And I don't know if that, like, caught up with... I have no idea what happened. All I know is whatever happened last year, I never want to have happen to me again. Like, it's a part of life, dude. I'm 32. I've been at this for how many years? I'm not 21. Like, honestly, you can kind of see the trend here. How many girls have actually been doing CrossFit Games or high-level CrossFit competitions for more than 2 or 3 years competing here individually? Not Camille is like the only one. And
right.
Brooke Wells has been around,
but
maybe
not that long.
2 years. Exactly.
Yeah.
She's also 21.
Right.
Cammy's still only 26, so it makes complete sense, even though she's been at this sport for a long
time. But everybody else
is
going to the
team.
We're
all like, hell no.
So
we are not ready for that.
Thankfully, Guido is not Dave Castro, right?
Exactly.
Thankfully. So wrapping up here, what are your expectations with you and your team? What did you guys come here for? What's the end goal?
Well, we all know that we're really good at everything. So there's not much strategy involved. No, okay, that sounded a little...
We're just going to show up and be really good at everything.
We are. We just kind of like, hey, what makes the most sense here? All right, well, let's just play to our strengths, play to our weaknesses, have a ton of fun. There's really no stress in this competition at all, which you never can really...
Well, you are the only girl that's been on the Progenics female team the last 3 years, right?
Yes.
So you're like the flag bearer for this squad. And you've won...
Second. Close enough.
Okay, yeah.
Good enough, yeah. So... You got a lot of stuff going on, and potentially, who knows, maybe motherhood in the near future. If people want to follow you, they want to see what you're doing, what do they got to do?
Instagram, Stacey Tovar. You can follow me on Facebook, Stacey Tovar. Live Quintessence on Twitter. Snapchat, Stacey Tovar. All the social media goods.
Do you have a LinkedIn?
I don't have a LinkedIn. Well,
okay.
I do, but I don't really. I'm not active on it.
Obviously, I'm gonna steal that domain, Stacey Tovar, if she didn't have one.
Pay for it.
I'll pay for it.
You guys follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Go to iTunes, download this episode if you haven't already, and subscribe to the podcast so you get the early content right away for athletes like Stacey, and good luck this year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Stacey.